It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and this week we have a guest. He's more like a boil on the arse of humanity. It is Luke. Welcome back to the show for the, like, I don't know how many fucking times you've been on. You're like your neighbour.
Lost track, mate, but as ever, it's good to be back and talk absolute bollocks. So long may it continue.
Yes, this week we're reviewing Metal Commando. It's the 13th studio album by German heavy metal band Primal Fear. Came out 24th of July this year on Nuclear Blast. Okay, so the cover, it's a bit shit, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It's metal.
Do you know when you go down to, like, a, I don't know, some sort of market or shopping centre, and there's that, there's always that generic t-shirts. Metal shirt? Yeah. It's a thing where you can get, like, a big hoodie with, like a wolf howling at a moon on the back of it. You get some skulls and some incense sticks. It's like you've gone to one of them and gone, can you just do me a heavy metal album cover, thanks? And they're like, oh yeah, we'll just do this.
Yeah, we'll just get our fucking set of fucking... do you remember years ago when everyone used, like, the stupid fonts and they all had, like, the fucking... This is a gif of a fucking... Or this is a tiff of a guy holding a cup. Like, tea day today, and there'd be a guy holding a cup or something like that. This is like that in an album cover. This is like Summer Fate today and like a little picture of a cake. You know what I mean? Like two coloured piece cake, yellow and blue or something. That's this album cover. It's rubbish.
Yeah, it's not a bitch, but there you go.
Yeah, so I only started listening to this because this is Joe's choice. I'm just going to remind him of that a bit later on too. But yeah, that's the first time I've heard of these, if I'm honest.
Well, the reason I chose this album was because Luke's been on at me to check this band out for a couple of years now, and they've always been one of those bands that are sort of on the radar, but I've never quite took the dive. So with a new album being sent to us, I thought, let's kill a couple of birds with one stone. And obviously Luke was the guy that was always telling me to get into them, so I thought, well, here's the primal opportunity to dive into this band and see exactly what they're all about. And there we go.
Cool.
So where did you hear of these then, Luke? So technically this show is your fault.
Yeah, I just give advice out. If Joe wants to take it, that's down to Joe. Joe's a grown man. I can't even remember where I heard him. I think it was on a going down a rabbit hole on YouTube, you know, fucking one video leads to another. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, what the fuck am I listening to? And it was a load of geezers fucking like wearing leather waistcoats and leather trousers in a back alley with women and all that. And it was like, well, hang about. And it was like, fucking hell, this could be Judas Priest. And I found out it was Primal Fear. And I've basically been into him for a few years. Casual listening, not like, you know, I'm not my favorite band, but you know, they're a good fun band. If you just want to fucking spend a couple of hours just listening to good tunes, put these on. You know, there's no strings attached to them, really. They're just a good blast.
Well, let's get on with it. First track, I Am Alive. It's cheesy, but it's not too bad. Catchy hooks and okay guitars. The second under voice, the shrieking voice, is a bit weird. It's an all right, half decent opener. Best foot forwards, it always works well, and this isn't bad for what it is. The sound sounds really dull, like it's boxed in and overproduced and overprocessed. And the solos near the end are a bit shit. The hooks are good, though. But yeah, there's not much more for me to say with this one. But not a bad opener, as it goes, if I'm honest.
The introduction to this track is a classic concert opener, the build up and then bringing in that riff. It's got that typical sort of motorcycle thundering metal riffage going on, some great vocals and a big soaring chorus, which is a staple with this band, I was led to believe. I think this guy's got some fucking pipes on him. He's got really good he's versatile with his voice, and he can hit some really high notes when needs to, but doesn't take the piss like some other singers do. But yeah, a good metal tune. It's got that, it's very Priest in their Painkiller era, I guess. That's obviously where this band have taken their cues from. But no, a good little melody in there as well, laced throughout. Good album opener, and I think a good live set opener as well. Over to you, Luke.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm sort of going you, Joe, really. I'm going against Gully. I think the production's pretty fucking groovy, actually. It's got all the right places, you know, everything's clear. Drums are good and punchy. Nothing lets
them... The bass isn't... Where's the bass?
What's bass? Don't know about that.
That's a fundamental instrument to the back end. That serves you well as well.
Yeah, but if you ever see the videos, you see the bassist. I don't know if I'm disrespecting him, but he's very much a root note geezer, so you're probably never going to hear him stand out. He's just there to add a bit of bottom end to the guitars. But as Joe says, Priest. I mean, this band doesn't exist if Priest don't release Painkiller. You know, it's very much taking that lead and gone off and done their own thing with it. You can hear that in this song. It's Priest all the way. The chorus, fucking great. It's sing along in the airtime with your fucking horns blaring. You know, it's just an awesome, great hooks. And I think if Dio was still alive, these would probably be his favourite band. You know, it's just fucking on the ball. Great way to open an album. And as Joe says, it's probably a great way to open a set as well.
So, Along Came the Devil. I've heard this on Planet Rock a few times. Along Came the Devil! Yeah, it's a bit poppy. I feel like this song takes the piss out of itself, kind of like The Darkness or something. But, like, because they're German, they probably take it far too seriously. And, this is leaving the background, non-offensive cheese, whilst you wait for a better song in the car, or whilst you're hoovering in the living room and you can't be bothered shouting to Google to fucking put something better on. It's not offensive, it's just bland process bollocks.
Oh god, it's gonna be one of them shows.
I'm back, bitches.
Yeah, taking my place from last time.
I mean, go on.
It follows on nicely. It's different to this one. It's more 4/4 on the drums, because the other version, the other song was pretty drumtastic, but I think it's because they got a new drummer. He's putting his mark down on the first track, but this one's much more 4/4. It's like lyrics are cheesy as fuck, but they're awesome, man. I mean, we're born to rock and raised on metal. I mean, this is what metal used to be like, man. It used to be fun, you know. They're not taking themselves seriously. They're not Man of War, but you know, they're just having fun. They're playing what they want to play, and if they're having fun, more importantly, I'm having fun. It's nice just to go back to music, metal music, that there's no fucking politics in it. Who cares what gender your cat is? Who cares what movement is doing what this week? This is metal. They're talking about fucking devil and, you know, it's just fingers in the air, and it's great fun so far. I'm loving it.
Yeah, you bring to mind, actually, one of my favourite albums of this year, actually, is a death metal band called Werewolves. And I think I sent in the messenger what they had on their sticker, like the hype sticker on the cover of the album. And it was something along the lines of no politics, no fucking news story that's going to be forgotten about next week. I'll have to bring it up, but it's just like, we are death metal whores. This is shredding, no nonsense death metal, no fancy introductions, no Latin names in order to look sophisticated. And it was just like some like no nonsense, da, 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 da. And then just a full stop, and then metal. Just at the end, the single word, metal.
And by the way, I just want to say that I'm not against political statements for metal bands. I mean, I've been into Earth Crisis. I love Machine Head, but there's times when I just want to fucking sit back and this band do it for me in that way. They're like Maiden, just bosh. You know what you're getting.
Yeah. I get what you mean. Everything has its place.
This track for me, we were saying this one, the last one reminded me of like a typical Judas Priest song. This actually brings to mind Accept. Accept have got that perfect, again, they took the cues from Priest, but they mix perfectly Priest and AC/DC. It's as if AC/DC were a metal band, that's what you would get with Accept. Yeah. Also German as well. And yeah, it's got that good, like, that sort of good mid-paced groove going to it. I like those open calls, just that down and down and down. You know, it's not so too riffy, it's just more notes. Again, good melodic vocals from, what's his name? Ralph Schreppers. Yeah.
definitely pronouncing that wrong. I'm just looking on a thing here on Metal Archive. Apparently, he did audition for Judas Priest. But Ripper Owens obviously got the joke, got the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... oh, no. He was considered to replace Rob Halford, but never actually invited to audition. Well, that was different to what I just read on the previous page. Funnily enough, though, he does bring to mind Tim Owens. I don't think there's a million miles between the two of them. And Tim Owens is one of the most underrated vocalists out there. He really is.
Yeah, he's great, yeah.
But, yeah, good hooky chorus, like you say. It's just it's good. This is what I call festival metal. It's, you know, not too complicated for the sake of it. It's just good beer drinking, horns in the air, leather jackets.
Yeah.
And raise your fist kind of metal. Moving on to Halo.
Well, don't mind the opening riff, but I'm not getting it. They're good at hooks. I wish the sound was opened up a little bit. It seems very boxy and there's no fucking bass. It's not bad background music. I just don't know what to think about it. Some of the riffs are all right, but the solos have just haven't been that good. And, like, I did Google them upon listening to this particular track, and they've got, like, the fucking Angry Anderson or the German Stone Cold as the singer. Yeah, they just look like what you think they would look like. You just think German metal. One of them's going to be bald and have a beard. And there he is. I'm just not getting into it. I don't know whether it's because when I typed up the notes, I'd had a nap, and old man Alan having a nap means he wakes up cranky. But this is just not for me, man. It's just shit.
Go on, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, track three, Halo. It's there's a bit of power metal creeping into it. I noticed on this. I mean, they've always had that sort of edge to them. They took Priest into the sort of the power metal, as you would do coming from that part of Europe. Not going to be able to avoid it, but they keep it reserved, so they don't go full on Dragon Force, which is good. You know, not to say Dragon Force don't have a good few tunes, but can be a bit overbearing at times. But they sort of mix this up.
Hold that Dragon Force thought.
Okay.
Hold for later, because I do.
No worries. Yeah, I mean, this is a mixture, like I say, more great vocals from Ralph, and they mix it up. You've got sort of power metal esque chorus, but then you've got Priest style verses. This is the worst of the opening three songs, but for me a higher bar has been set, so we'll let them off. But again, this is just, you know, it's just good time metal, man. It's what the world needs right now.
Yeah, same sort of thing for me. Good thundering riffs, but a really good soaring chorus. Again, it's pretty much they know their formula and they stick to it. Again, you've got that good Painkiller
Scott Travis style drumming with this as well, thundering the song along. Again, the chorus sticks in your head as well. I did the one of my tests is always the workout test, and I did find myself running a bit faster and lifting weights just that bit more. They on the set of 10, this is a good quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like those last one or last couple of sit ups or that last couple of yards in a run, they're the ones that you tend to skip. You go, oh, it's all right, I'm worn out. He's like, no, those are the ones that count. The ones that you're struggling to do at the end, they're the ones that are the most important.
Yeah.
And whatever gets you through those last couple of reps, whatever you need to listen to get you through them. And this worked. I got through and it's a pretty lengthy album as well, by the way.
And I got through it. The workout passed, you know, swimmingly. I didn't struggle with it at all. That's normally a good little thing when you start to struggle with this plan in your ear. But yeah, I blasted through. It felt good at the end of it.
Well, this song, if I was to listen to this during the workout, it'd end up like fucking Chris Benoit. But yeah, let's go on to Hear Me Calling. It's pop cock rock. I go into every review with the openest mind I can, and I want to like stuff if I can. But I feel like I'm listening to a fucking weird ass cover band. It's terrible. Ballads have to really stand out for me. This is not one of them. It's piss poor. I hate the lyrics. They're fucking awful. My inner voice is calling me to turn this off. And one of the best lyrics of the actual song as well. Hear me calling, feel my gender, my race. It's like he's stringing random sections of lyrics together and hoping no one notices. It's just a fucking terrible song. Fuck this total waste of my fucking time. And I was said before that this album's kind of I've been off the sauce for a couple of weeks. I'm just going clean living. Well, smoking weed still, but you can't have everything. But like, I felt like I needed a drink after listening to it for the like third time. I'm thinking, fuck me, this is just, it's just draining me soul. And yeah, I'm just not into it.
It's feel my tender embrace, not my gender, my race. You
well, I couldn't fucking hear it. One, fuck because the actual fucking music is produced terrible. It sounds boxy and shite, and the German.
complete opposite you, Gally. I fucking love this. This is my favourite song on the album.
You cheesy bastard. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they released a video for this the day the album dropped, and the video is fucking cheesy as well. But it's awesome, man. It's a slower tempo, proper, you know, total power ballad. And this is, every band sort of has one of these. It's a tour song. You know, you're writing the lyrics when you're away on tour and you're missing your family and all that sort of stuff. And it's, yeah, it's cheesy, but again, it's great. I mean, it's got a great main riff, a fucking absolutely fabulous chorus. And say four songs in and I'm still having fucking, I'm having the time of my year so far. I mean, and you got four songs and you got almost four different styles. You got full on Priest, you got Priest meets AC/DC, you got fucking power metal esque, and now you've got this power ballad. You know, it's, and again, the musicianship for me is first class. You know, they're all top of the game, and yeah, I'm loving it so far.
Do you not feel the overprocessed sound though? Can you not understand where I'm coming from? It feels you know, I've always said the best way to record stuff is have as much of it recorded together live, and I'm not even sure they were in the same room when they recorded it.
I've never liked recording like that. I've recorded live, and I've recorded layering the drums and then the bass and all that, and I much prefer doing it the other way.
There's just no energy to it. It just feels flat to me. That's what I'm saying. It just feels flat, and it's just the sign of something that's been overproduced. And I wanted to ask you about that in particular, you being a drummer, of course. And,
yeah, no, I've got to see you. I can't see your point, but I appreciate your point. But no, I've never... A lot of albums in the past where people have gone, oh, fucking hell, this sounds terrible. I've thought, fucking hell, this sounds really good. Particularly one case in point was Stamping Ground, Carved from Empty Words. Everyone used to go, oh, it's fucking, oh, they're so overproduced. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Fucking, it's crisp, it's clear, it's precise. It's great. Fucking love it.
That is one of the best metal albums ever recorded, by the way, and that is on the list to review at some point.
I think Luke's obviously damaged his hearing with all the cymbal passion. That's what's happened there. But go on. I'm gonna stop talking because we know where this is going from now, but yeah.
I've got no dog in the race really when it comes to production. It's the least thing that matters to me. And I listen to fucking death and black metal demos all day. And one of my favourite albums is Napalm Death Scum. And I once spent €40 on a Hellhammer demos box set. So I can't really. Yeah. the fact that it wasn't recorded in the kitchen is a bonus for me. Hear Me Calling, it's got that nice cheesy classic rock power ballad thing going on. I quite like the clean music during the verse. I will back Gully up a little bit with the lyrics. It's always kind of been said that you're in trouble when a band or artist starts writing songs about writing a song. It's normally an indicator that they're running out of ideas. But yeah, it's got that good sort of, it's got a cheesy thing, but that's the always thing about it. You know, I thought cheese was a good thing in good measure. It's funny enough, we spoke to Priest, I'm coming up with Accept, and correct me if I'm wrong, but am I getting a bit of, I'm spinning the wine around in a thing, giving the wine thing a sniff, going, oh, embers of gooseberry.
Yeah.
No, am I sensing a bit of scorpions in this song?
Yeah, big time.
Well, the fucking German. Of course they are. Yeah. They probably woke up when they were born and the first thing they heard was fucking Rocky Like a Hurricane or something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Scorpions are in there, man. I mean, like as Gully says, you know, it's, if you're German and you're into heavy rock, you're going to be raised on the Scorpions. A bit like we're going to be raised on Maiden and Saxon coming from here. And, you know, it's, I think it's in the DNA.
Mm. True. Let's take us on to the Lost and Forgotten. Oh, God, the opening scream's fucking awful. It sounds out of tune. I'm sorry. He's got a good voice, but no. This is one step above Nickelback. The more I hear it, the more I'm disliking it. Song's utter fucking drivel. He lives life without a mask. You should wear a mask when you go to the shop because the government tells us so. It's very naughty and he'll catch COVID. I can't think of anything else to write. It's terrible shit and it's void of energy and I'm done with it.
I'm just going to read the lyrics and see what Gully's misheard again.
No, he lives life without a mask. You lyrically cunt,
You did get that one right, yeah.
Yeah, it's very dangerous in this current climate.
Yeah.
Fucking Germans, they think they're indestructible. Well, yeah, that's all I can say with it. It's just limp.
Bloody it's Germans, like, they've my chip shop.
It's like, Stan Boardman in real life, that's the comedian he's quoting, is a cunt. There I said it. Stan Boardman, if you'd ever listen to this, you say, are a cunt, and I've met you, and I know you're a cunt. But other than that, yeah, it's like when you drink too much and you're trying to get Mr. Floppy and it's just not working out and you end up going to sleep. That it's just a bad fucking time for all.
Tuesday then.
No. Fucking hell, mate. I've stopped drinking for fuck's sake. No Brewers Droop here. Thank you.
Anyway, back to track 5.
Alright, yeah. Really good melody at the end of the chorus is that as well. We've got a good...
Rather than the soaring chorus, this is like a thumping one. Good little...
Yeah, who was it who complained about the lack of bass earlier?
Me.
You've got a good little bass lead in the verse here.
At this point, I've probably lost the will to live listening to this. So I've probably stopped really listening as much as I should. But, yeah, it is what it is.
I think this has got a good chant along crowded participation with this one as well. That to the left. To the right.
Oh yeah, you know, don't you know they're going to split the crowd up in the middle and get them to do that.
Again. I just thought of Agadoo when I heard that lyric. Agadoo, just saying, Agadoo.
Was this what it was like listening to me review the last Def album?
No, you probably wasn't as cutting as I am, but it's like fucking, it's just terrible. I can't get into it. It's fucking, it's daytime dad rock. This is the show for me where I feel like, okay, I'm not as old as I think. So, yeah. Because it's just void of energy. It's like non-offensive. It's like fucking plain yogurt. You know the yogurt you buy in the shop in the big tubs? Like fucking, it's not flavoured or nothing and you add your own shit. It's just like that without any shit in it. It's just boring and it'll probably go off in the fridge and you'll forget and have to throw it away in a week. Yogurt.
Who's the bitterest man in the living room?
I like this song. It's boom. You know, you've had a rest. Now we're back to it. Fucking full on horns, fucking metal in your face. Halford screams, you know, obviously not as good as Halford, but let's face it, who is? But he's doing his fucking level best. And the chorus is you know, as heavy as... you know, Primal Fear are going to get, and it's heavy as fuck, man. So, no, more, I'm loving it. Keep it going, as far as I'm concerned.
I think he'd mind you, Rob Alford's getting on a bit now, but...
Yes.
Maybe Rob in his prime, but then again, Ralph's, as long as that, yeah, spring chicken,
no,
so...
Fucking, I think he's knocking on, well, knocking on in, you know, not knocking on, but in terms of, like you say, being, your voice being in peak condition.
Yeah. The best screamer of all time, though, is King Diamond. It's got to be said.
I think Rob Halford's the best all-rounder, but when it comes to hitting that note and holding it, you can't beat Satan himself.
Well, if anyone's going to have a good voice, it's going to be fucking Satan, isn't it?
Exactly.
My name is Fear, and I fear it's more of the same. It's not bad drumming, but everything sounds crap, really. At least it's faster, but it doesn't mean it's better. It is dad-friendly rock. It is bad dad-friendly rock. To the layman, no, these are one of these bands. Someone has heard this who's never listened to rock and goes, oh, that's really, really heavy. But to me, it's dull. It's overproduced. It's shit. It's a pop shit shelf filler. And it's Dragon Force. There we go. There's the hint back to before. They're just the slower, duller Dragon Force from Germany with fucking Angry Anderson off front who's going to fucking give you the stunner if you don't like it. It's shit.
I think a big
That's the thing with power metal. It's the term is a bit of an off-putter because of bands like Dragon Folks, but when you got bands like Sabotage, Iced Earth, I think American bands do it a little less cheesy than the Europeans do.
Yeah, they do.
Well, Dragon Force though, I'm not the biggest fan of them, but if it was on, I'd leave it on and I'd get done quicker. But
as musicians, fucking hell, Dragon Force are, they're probably unparalleled.
It's Street Fighter music. It's stuff to hoover up and go faster to, whereas this is go faster to the fucking stop button. It's just, you can see why I said I wanted a fucking drink. Stress the fuck out of listening to this shit for fucking few days. Fucking Joe. Joe, go. Talk about this shit song.
Sorry, Gally.
I said we should pick albums we don't fucking like to annoy me. You fucking done it on purpose.
Good. Yeah, okay. Long may it continue.
Yeah, you cunt. Go on, what do you think of this song?
Fucking awesome riff at the beginning of this. That was, is it a riff or is it a melody? With the pummeling drums beneath it. It's a fair bit repeating myself, but again, it is what it is. You've got great riffs backed, which build up to a great climax during the chorus. It's a winning formula that works for them. I don't know if this is their best album. I doubt it is, but I bet it's a good addition to the set list. I did a bit of homework and had a bit of a back listen through the catalogue. It seems like the first two, three albums are generally regarded as their best, with a couple of, couple of albums here and there in the 90s that are considered underrated. But it seems like they never really stood off the path too much. They never did like a fucking disco album or an industrial album or something like that.
I'd rather have herpes than go back and listen to any more of this shit.
No, I mean, I like their back catalogue. They quite often have it on shuffle in the car, and it's just, you just driving music, man. It's fucking great. I mean, I'm with you, Joe, on this. The intro, I mean, talking about is it a riff, is it a melody, I actually wrote it's a Maiden-esque intro, which sort of sums it up, because you don't know if it's a riff or a melody. But yeah, good double. It's Maiden with double kick drums. More Priest coming out on the chorus, and I actually think the song wouldn't sound out of place on Painkiller, and that's fucking high praise for me. So, I mean, this song really nails it.
So, do you know, something I need to ask, Luke, do you know when you're driving the car, say if I was the front passenger, would I get to choose the music?
No. I'm driving.
I'm never getting in your fucking car. but let's go on to the next one. I Will Be Gone. Hurrah! Another ballad. I can't wait for weird German ballads. Right, Joe's going to go away and get his fucking album out. Is the lyrics, I saw the blood... Red River and the palm of your hand. I will be gone. And there's a lyric. I saw the blood red river and the palm of your hand. That is the lyrics of the week. It doesn't make sense. English is not the first language. Each lyric has been carefully crafted to be a random cheesy metal cliche. He reads the Bon Jovi cheese line book and glues them all together to make a giant heap of sewage, throwing out the drab sounding shower of shit that this album is. A block of wood has more soul than this fucking album. It's fucking shite. And I'm getting creative with me put downs, but I've got fuck all else to do besides wanting to slip me fucking wrists.
You are right. The lyrics are, I saw this blood red river, I saw the palm of your hand. You're right.
Yeah. What the fuck? Just glue things together. They've got a magnetic wall with metal phrases on the fridge or something in the studio, and they've just stuck them all together. Well, there's the next song. Tis good. Tis good. That's my German. Yeah, that's what's happened with this album, man. It's just fucking awful.
I've got a bit of a funny taste in my mouth with this song. What Gully's been saying, I do kind of agree with, but Germans generally aren't burdened by coal. Where we're a bit self-conscious and a bit, is this a bit cheesy? They kind of don't care if they're expressing themselves. They tend to just go with it, which is something I kind of admire. Musically speaking, this is a fucking beautiful song. Lyrically and vocally, it's just a little too sickly sweet for my taste.
like a coffee with 10 sugars.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like obviously an acoustic ballad. It is there. It's almost like a mid-album breather. It's not the best example of this type of song, but no, like Joe, like you say, yeah. Joe, musically it is great. I mean, and the old Spanish style guitar solo is pretty cool. But yeah, lyrically, Ralph is, you know, let's be honest, he's not the best lyricist, but he, you know, fucking hell, it's all subjective, isn't it? Because there could be
give
some
him
people
a Pritt stick and the fucking Bon Jovi back catalogue lyrics. He could make a fucking song that one. Look at him.
This could be some German couple who's going to get married to this song.
Well, David Hasselhoff is big in Germany. That's all I'm going to say.
Fucking right as well. David Hasselhoff's the man. Driving my car. I want to take you home.
Yeah. He'd become an alcoholic in later life because of Germany, probably.
Yeah, well, don't knock that. Come on. Let's not be too judgmental here. No, yeah. No one likes a piss head.
No, I'm quite good at it.
He says as he swallows. But, it's all about delivery, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, I'm your turbo lover. Tell me there's no other. But Bob Alford's the fucking man when he sings that song. And I'd give anything to be that cold to just be able to say that.
can you imagine
fucking jacket with fight flames coming out of it?
Can you imagine for a minute? We've all seen a picture of the singer. He does look like a fucking wrestler. Can you imagine him coming up to you in the street and just saying a line of the lyrics? You would instantly run away and call the police. It's just like, what the fuck? Get away, you fucking weirdo. But yeah, any more on it? I Will Be Gone.
No, I think I'll be devil's advocate and say the song will probably go along better live than it is on the studio. It'll probably just be
because you don't have
guitar on its own. The crowd sing along, lighters out. Just... But I would probably guess there are better songs of this style in the band's back catalogue going back.
Yeah.
But again, I get what it's doing. I get its purpose. I get his place on the album. Like I say, take the vocals off and just have the acoustic song. I think it's really, really good. But like I say, something about it's just a little...
It's there's something about it that it's a little off. It's called bollocks. Raise Your Fist. 1980s wants its opening riff back and it's not even a good one. Back to soft radio-friendly cock rock. I can't get into it. It's too tacky to shit. I'm kind of really hating it. It's utter drivel. Random statements stuck together does not make a fucking song. This could be on the radio, though, in its defence, 1,000 times, and it's probably going to make the money because they're signed to Nuclear Blast, so, yeah. You wouldn't notice it. You'd just go about your business and just never remember it. It's just background ignored shit. They might as well play it in the fucking lift when you go into your local shopping centre. You just wouldn't notice it. It's just family-friendly radio bollocks. And, I'm hating this album. Fucking hating it.
Yeah, I mean, with this, it's bang. The metal's back in it. I mean, I like the intro. The riffs are okay, but it's the first sign of, you know, filler on the album for me. It's not shit filler, where sometimes you get filler and you're like, what the fuck is this? You know, Maiden are the fucking worst culprits. Whirly Maiden were the worst culprits for that. I mean, fucking Quest for Fire. What the fuck? And this isn't that. This is inoffensive filler, but it's filler nonetheless.
Yeah, a European power metal band with a song called Raise Your Fists. Oh.
Yeah.
I quite like the opening riff. It has got that kind of, again, it makes, I say, biker metal. It just makes you think of Harley Davidson's. However, there are people that do that style of riff in a lot better in different songs. Not offensive, but not particularly inspiring either.
I'm just eating the Twix because it's the only thing sustaining my will. Sustaining my will to live is eating chocolate right now. I can't drink because I've knocked that on the head. So I'm comfort eating Twixes and fucking shoving handfuls of Twix in my mouth to make me feel better. This is fucking I'm going to have to talk to my therapist about this, and I literally do have one. Right, so Howl of the Banshee, it's more like a whimper or a small whisper in the box. I can see where they're going, but it misses the mark. He can hold a tune, admit it, but it's annoying, and this is a so-called metal album with pop principles, from the sounds of the recording to the non-offensive lyrics. This is the X Factor of cock rock with an old bald guy up front. Here, let's have a riff. Let's have a dual voice hook. It's shit by numbers. Say something about the devil. Mention the dark. Mention the spirits. Blah, blah, blah. Tick every box. If it was fucking cheesy lyric bingo, you'd fucking score by the fucking first song. So, yeah, fuck it. It's just shite. No more to say on that one. I'm just in hell.
Go on, Joe, over.
I'm just looking at albums I can torture Gully with.
Can't you hear I'm eating fucking Twixes like a motherfucker here because of how stressed I am about it? Fuck's sake.
Well, while you're looking at albums, I'll crack on. I mean, Howl of the Banshee, title metal as fuck. I mean, you'd expect nothing less from a German priest-influenced power metal band. Starts off with a drum intro, first one on the album. You know, it's not where it was there, but you know, it's a pretty cool drum intro nonetheless. Riffs are okay. It's more filler, unfortunately, and it's quite a long filler as well. This one, it could have been about a minute shorter. I think I Will Be Gone has killed the momentum of the album for me, and the quality as well. I mean, it's fucking first six songs were like bang, I'm fucking loving it, but now it's like, right, yeah, we should have had a bit more quality control, I think. You know, but it's not offensive. It's not shit filler. It's just, you know, skip for me, this one.
Yeah, I've not got much to add to it, really. I've never felt the need to skip any songs whilst listening to this, but it's not a standout track either. It's kind of just more of the same.
Can't you say more about this so I can finish my Twix, for fuck's sake? Right.
We're just carrying on with that, yeah, it's all right.
Fuck yeah, I'm enjoying my Twix. I've got to have some enjoyment because this album's fucking killed me off.
I've just got to say, right, for sitting there saying about how bland and crap everything is, Twix has got to be the fucking shittest cardboard fucking flavourless boring chocolate bar of the whole chocolate world.
Hang on a minute.
Anyone on blandness?
I bet you buy dark chocolate fucking digestive biscuits. I bet you're one of them weird fuckers who's got dark chocolate.
It's got class.
That's not class. Dark chocolate's rank.
No, dark chocolate is dirty, mate. It's, you know. No.
It's the filth, the scum of the earth. Dark chocolate. If you like dark chocolate,
you got to love a Jaffa cake. So that's
a trade off. That's the middle ground. That's like that's the bridge to another dimension. Don't cross the bridge of the Jaffa cake to go any further.
I'm going there to Bourneville land.
No, because that's it. That's game over for you. Any more on that one? Now we've had a good biscuit diversion.
Yeah, I think we can move on to track 10, I think.
Afterlife, it's such a flat sounding album. This has really drained the will to live for me. The thing is, this will get regular play on radio to the shit friendly sound that it has. It's limp, dickless music. The last song was very long and I just don't want to live it through it. It just seems poorly executed and it has nothing to want. And I could happily never know it was on the radio because it's so, the mediocrity of it is just apparent. It would just be in the background and I wouldn't notice it. And when I do notice it, I'm wanting to fucking turn it off. Return to Win, the Original Sin, is that another one of them classy lyrics? I'm sure I got that. They are practically just stringing random sentences that sound cool, that do nothing. It's like it reminds me of radio jingles. If you listen to any radio station, it says the sound that rocks your movement, or it says Metal FM, the sound of your morning. The sentences that mean nothing. And that's what this album is for me. It's just sentences that mean nothing. I'm done with it already. Fuck's sake, there's one song left.
Oh, we're going to have fun with this last song. I know it.
Yeah, here we are.
Right. This last final track is a bit of an epic.
We missed one out. What are you on about? You missed out 10.
I thought it was just done Afterlife.
No.
Oh, sorry.
You haven't done it.
No, you haven't done it.
You've done it.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Luke. Sorry.
Right, yeah. Afterlife, good main riff, and some pretty quick feet from Michael, the new drummer, who mentioned he used to play for Gamma Ray. So you've got to know what you're fucking doing when you play for these type of bands. So he's definitely no slouch there. It's better than the last three songs. It's an uptick, definitely. But still not up to the old quality of, let's go back to the vinyl terminology of Side A. Side A was fucking stacked. Side B is a bit of a letdown so far. But this is definitely the best song on what you would call Side B.
You mentioned Gamma Ray. I think this is a bit of a Gamma Ray offshoot in general, if I'm correct. I think the vocalist used to be in them. And Gamma Ray is an offshoot of Helloween, isn't it? The original.
Oh, it gets complicated.
Yeah, it does.
The first Helloween album was a singer and guitarist, and then on the second album, that front man stepped aside and just focused on guitar while they got an actual front man. So they went from a 4-piece to 5-piece, and then that guitarist left to form Gamma Ray. And now with that Pumpkins United thing, they've done an Iron Maiden where both of them have both the ex-vocalist and that guitarist has rejoined. But when it comes to, because they have the two singers doing from their own eras, he does a little bit in the middle where he does sings a couple of songs off the first album. Sorry, there is a bit of a family tree going on between. Yeah, this track's a lot better than the last two tracks, but it's still a bit of meh.
But it is an improvement on the last two songs, I'll put it that.
Yeah.
And then we've zoomed through this pile of shit, haven't we?
Go on, mate.
Go on. Right, let me just build myself up for this one. Infinity, let's rip off Sabbath, get the fuck away. Another ballad. When the night comes, you can hear the thunder's call. Fuck off. That sounds like something like off Thundercats. When the night comes, you can hear the thunder's call, and Lino jumps up in his fucking copy, wishing his sword. What was the Tigra, was it? Or Tigra? What was the woman called in Thundercats? The one with the big boobs.
Boobs in the first episode.
Boobs.
I don't know what the fuck. She's walking around naked on the first episode, and something no one addresses.
It's the same thing where Donald Duck walks around naked all day, but then when he gets out of the bath, he wraps a towel around him, doesn't he? So it's
well, yeah. Everyone knows what they are. So they are calling, and they're laughing at you, and that's a lyric I've just quoted, but not they're laughing at you because you sat there listening to that bollocks. I feel totally and utterly drained. It's crap. One song, the rest drivel, all packaged up in a vague-sounding, poor-quality mix. You're not even going to scare your nan with this music, but you know what? Fucking rock radio will eat this shit up, serve it to the masses everywhere, and no one will fucking notice because it's just background, utter fucking bollocks. Fuck this album, I'm done.
Big build-y-uppy introduction on this song, and Luke, I've got two words for you.
Cathedral spires.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah.
It's funny with the I totally didn't see it coming, but you've got the quiet intro with that melody like dan 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 dan. When the fucking song kicks on and that melody is the main riff, that took me by surprise. I was like, fucking hell. Yeah. And I didn't see it coming at all. And then when it kicks into the dun 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 that right fucking chuggy riff. It's heavy as fucking, yeah, it does remind me of Cathedral Spires, but in the best possible way. Yeah. Then we go on a bit of a journey. The song basically ends and starts again about three times, if I'm correct.
That's very unfortunate, really. It should just start and then stop quickly.
And this nice little epic kind of little bit in. I thought that would have been an outro. I thought, right, we're going to slowly, it's going to fade out on that. But no, it fucking starts up again. And a little bit lengthy, but I think it's not too bad, actually. And I don't mind.
I wish Maiden would actually take a little note out of bands like this.
as much as Maiden do, like this would be like the opening track for Maiden. But I do wish they kind of would just even things out a little bit and do a couple of more 4 minute.
I've grown out of the 4 minute Maiden. Not to say I'm not criticising the old stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But when they release the new albums now, or when they release the fucking track list and the song lengths, I'm looking for those song lengths, and I'm like, please let there be a couple of 10 minute jobs on there, because
yeah, it's all well and good.
Your Fallen Angels and your fucking songs like that and your Speed of Lights, they're the ones I skip now. I'm like, no, I've made name. Ain't about this no more. They're about the fucking the 15 minute, 18 minute jobs. And I'm the opposite of you with that one.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it. Book of Souls, I think, was probably one of my favourite Maiden albums.
Yeah.
That was the most accessible for a non Maiden Ed. For me, that was more accessible.
It's interesting to hear that opinion, because you cut me open and I bleed Maiden, so But hearing you say that, that's pretty cool, actually, because I fucking love Book of Souls. But to hear someone who isn't primarily a Maiden fan say that that's like quite accessible, it's like fucking hell.
Yeah, the double album.
Well, I'm getting older, and I'm liking more proggier shit, and it's a little bit more proggy at times. And I was getting kind of a little bit of Floyd-esque vibes from it as well. So there was that, and that drew me in, and that's why I find it more easy to listen to. But One of the main song, which had the cool video in the arcade, that's grown a little bit tiresome. But other than that, it's still on play on a random play. So that's always a good sign if I've not kicked it off.
You can kind of do get a couple of songs where you go, yeah, that's blatantly just the single, and you can kind of disregard it. But
it's very, very accessible for the non-Maidenheads, I would say. That's a good place to start, and then it gets better as you go backwards, I would say, with Maiden as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, back to Gully's album of the year, Infinity. Yeah. 13 minutes down on the track length. It's not 13, it's about 9 3/4, as Joe said it. But what a 9 3/4 minute fucking epic song. I mean, this is more like it, mate. This is fucking got my blood pumping. This, I mean, that atmospheric intro, Joe, what you were talking about, Joe, with the older the melody that the guitar comes in when in between the vocals, and then when that kicks in, it kicks in fucking big. It's like a bulldozer to your house, and it just, like you say, it takes you on a journey. It's tempo changes straight out of the Maiden playbook. And yes, I hadn't really thought about Cathedral Spires until you said it, actually, but it's obvious. It's the glaring comparison. And that song is fucking immense as well. And this is absolutely brilliant. And what a way to finish an album, really. They've sort of redeemed themselves, you know, for the obvious filler tracks that steamrolled the momentum, and they've come back with this. And I'd give anything to see this live. It'd be such a great song.
Right, let us get down, and we've zoomed through this. Thank fuck for that. let's get our out of tens. I'm going last, because I need to ask a question before I give me rating. It's based on whether I've done it before, or if I've not done it before, then I'm doing it.
I'll go first. Given I'm normally listening to more extreme music and your death metals and black metals and all things like that, listening to just a classic heavy metal album is a nice little palate cleanser for me, and this has been an enjoyable album. I'm not a full convert, I've got to admit. When I say that, it means I haven't become obsessed with the band and done a week's wages buying their back catalogue. But yeah, it was all right. It was I've enjoyed listening to it for the review.
Money, I'll set fire to it.
I'll check the band out live if it comes round, maybe.
But, I'm supposed to be playing at the dump if we ever get through this fucking
I'm not optimistic about that, to be honest.
Well, there'll be a lot less venues, put it that way, because that's not happening until well into next year, I'd say. So a lot of venues are just going to go, which is sad for the music industry in general. In my
opinion. Talking about that, I've just had final confirmation that Lamb of God, that was supposed to be in April, they finally rescheduled it, and it's fucking December next year. So,
you know. A lot of places are going to go. A lot of these tours are going to just drop off because there'll be the some of the bigger venues are going to go tits up as well.
Machine Head have cancelled the entire European run. They said, we can't schedule it for a second time. So we're just going to cancel it so you can get your money back.
It was good what Bloodstock done, though, with the keeping the price the same and bunging on an extra day. So if you got your ticket for this year, you getting a decent lineup. Should they go ahead?
Bloodstock were good boys, from what my wife follows them on Instagram and stuff, like one of the promoter, and she seems to really have a fucking head screwed on, and it's the complete opposite of Download. They're just cunts. So, but Bloodstock are where it's at, I think.
Yeah, we've had the organisers of Bloodstock on the show, and they are good lads. And what I like about it is that it started as a conversation in a pub. You know, and it was,
and he's, and the guy's huge as well.
Yeah, how can we get it off the ground, sort of thing. And what started is an indoor venue, one day became 2 days, then a bigger venue, and it's just grown every year. So
imagine going from that to having Slayer top of the bill,
exactly.
And Megadeth, for fuck's sake. Mad, that's just dreams, isn't it? If you're into metal and. Like a few years down the line, you've got Megadeth and fucking Slayer headlining and fucking Priest as well. Fuck's sake. that's the shit dreams are made of. And I do hope they fucking continue to flourish because they treated us well. And they seem to look after the fans a little better than other places.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
What rating are you giving it, Joe?
I'll give it a solid 7 out of 10.
Luke, your turn, buddy.
For me, same as Joe, it gets a 7. Vinyl terminology, side A, fucking banging the first 6 songs. If you're talking about splitting it out over song lengths, because Infinity would capture most of side B. But side A, fucking brilliant. Side B, lackluster, but saved by Infinity. Infinity's a fucking great song. A bit more quality control would yield a great album instead of a very good one. But unfortunately, this followed much of Latter Day Metallica, and especially Hardwired, which again was side A was front loaded with fucking great modern Metallica songs, and side B was a bit, you know, why did you do that? Why? But same as this, really. But no, 7 out of 10 for me, and it's another stellar entry by the band, and they. They're knocking on, but they still not really showing signs of slowing down, really. Just when you think you can write them off with those obvious filler tracks, they write a song like Infinity. So, you know, I can't wait to listen to it again.
So next week, the show's cancelled because Joe and Luke are going to play Crown Game Bowling and wear fucking flat caps. Put them out to fucking pasture. Let's just put them down. It's okay. That's what they do with dogs that are, you know, obviously lost their way and they're a bit unwell. But you'll be fine. We'll just put you down. We'll just call it a day. what should we say for me, Joe? This is the question I wanted to ask, and Luke, you might not know, you might know it. Have I ever given an album 0 out of 10?
I don't know. Probably.
Well, I have now. 0 out of 10. Fuck this album. Shite. Have you got anything you'd like to pull?
Well, I've managed to give you an album that you like less than the Testament album, so...
Yeah.
You might as well have given me a fucking enema. Do you know what I mean? It's at least the enema serves a fucking purpose. This serves no purpose for me. It's just shite. It's just background noise. It's just waffle. It's just crap. Joe, anything to plug? Any magazine stuff?
Not at the moment. I'm working on the next issue, but that won't be out for a while yet, I wouldn't have thought. But yeah, always check out Metal Legion. That's Metal Legion, one word and only one L. Check out the website, get yourself a bundle deal, get yourself a magazine and some CDs, or you can pick it up at hellsheadbangers.com or cultneverdies.com, which is a UK-based website. Get what you normally get on those websites, but just chuck that in as well, because it's... just about around a fiver, and you've already paid your postage and packaging, so just chuck that in as well. That's all.
Yeah, that works. Luke, thank you very much for coming on and guiding me through this traumatic traumatic album.
No worries, man. It's always a pleasure. Love talking bollocks for you two boys.
So, at Rock Show Online on Twitter, The Rock Show Online on Facebook. I'll happily review just fucking 6 hours of White Noise for the next fucking review. It's got to be better than this, bollocks. If you enjoyed the show, share the show. Thanks very much for listening. Don't be a cunt. Fucking share it. See you later.